This is the concluding part of a message by David Ebaugh entitled, The Parallel of the Tabernacle in the Wilderness to the Tabernacle in John.
But then when I thought in the New Testament, in the book of John, I had goosebumps on the goosebumps. But now here it is all over again in Matthew and in Luke. It's the same thing. It's the same pattern. And so here's something brand new for you that you've never seen before in Matthew 13. The sower, the good seed, and the mustard seed. Three things in common. What is it? Seed. Three parables about seed. Passover, we'll get to that in a moment. The next three parables are the leaven, the treasure, and the pearl. What was common about them? The leaven was hidden, the treasure was hidden, the pearl was hidden, or it was found, and that means it was hidden. What's common about those three? They're hidden experiences. Pentecost. Praise God. It's hidden behind that veil. They're hidden experiences. Is this making sense to anybody? Man, it makes sense to me. It's right down the log, boy. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, when I see things like this in the Word, it's as good as singing a Cameron song. Sometimes I'd rather do this than sing David Dance Before the Lord. Now, there's a time to sing David Dance Before the Lord, but man, there's a time to get into a thing like this and see things that have been hidden from before the foundation of the world. Listen, those Pharisees wanted to understand this, and Jesus spoke to them in Matthew 13 in a parable so that they wouldn't see it, but they were the Pharisees who should have saw it because they were Moses' disciples. And he was teaching Moses' tabernacle all over again in Matthew 13. Getting down to the last one, the fish net, and we'll see what that has with the Ark of the Testament or the tabernacle experience in a moment. Now I've got to go back. When the sower sowed his seed at the door, it fell on four kinds of people. But when the good and bad seed were sown, there were two groups involved. But when the mustard seed was sown, it's one group. What's happening? It has. With every step, it illuminates and divides. It has. The revelation of kingdom truth will split a church down the middle because it demands people to come with me, and they'll say, no, I can't go that far. You got a church split. And so the Lutherans split from the Catholics, the Anabaptists split from the Lutherans, the Baptists split from the Anabaptists, the Presbyterians split from the Baptists, the Methodists split from the Presbyterians, probably Assembly of God or Pentecostal types were a result of the Wesleyan movement, and down it goes. Do you see where I'm driving at? You introduce a further truth and another split. And what's it doing? It's getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah, but it's purified.
Praise God. But by the way, I want to tell you something. If you make it to the door or the altar or the laver, you found a certain amount of favor with God. But I'm not satisfied to stop. I can't stop. I know too much. I'm headed toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. I can't be satisfied with an outer ring. I've got to go all the way in to the presence of God. I just can't do it. I can't stay back. And whatever it costs, I'm going to have to pay. And we'll get to that in a minute, too. So I fell on four groups at the door. I want to say something about this right now. These people at the door don't have salvation. They got faith. They believe that God is, and they believe that Jesus was. Can I say mainline churches?
Yes.
Is that all right? Do you mind?
Yeah.
It's still part of the big deal now.
I that.
Now, I want you to understand this. The mainline churches are part of the big deal. They just happen to be right on the edge. You know, they got God is, and Jesus was, and, you know, what's doing at the social club. They didn't come to the blood, but they did find out and get through the door, at least, and God is, and Jesus was. And that's about all they got. They're mainline churches. Unfortunately, some Wesleyans that were at one time way down here have slipped back to where their Methodist churches are right on the edge of the door right now. They don't have any blood. They took that out of the song books. They don't have any Holy Ghost or second work of grace. I've been in Wesleyan churches, and I've talked about the second work of grace, and the pastor didn't know what I was talking about. Now, you... You think that a pastor of a Wesleyan Methodist church would know about the second work of grace, but that's the thing upon which it's founded. And it has slipped so far back that even the pastors didn't know. Now I want to go to the salvation experience, or the altar, the blood of Jesus, and find out that there is good seed and bad seed planted here. And this is going to shock you. But there are wheat and tares growing up in good fundamental churches. That's what he said. Expect it right here at this stage. It's going to be wheat and tares growing up, because the devil's going to counterfeit and make some people look like Christians until they get mature. That's why I don't see how you can trust your personal spiritual well-being into the hands of somebody that you don't know anything about. I don't see how you can do it. You've got to have one mediator between God and man, Jesus, not somebody that you don't know. It's just Jesus. It's just Jesus and you, that's all, see? But coming along here are good guys and bad guys. Therefore, in any fundamental Christian environment, don't be surprised if the pastor runs off with the organ player. Now, come on. I'm speaking real plain, but you understand me. In a good fundamental environment, you're going to have these things in operation. Good guys and bad guys going on down at the church. Then don't be surprised. Don't act so shocked. It's part of the deal. Boy, if you'd read what Eli's sons did at the temple, you'd understand. Going on to the labor, you'll find that there's only one group left now, and it's the mustard seed group. These have gone through a sanctification experience when they've been washed, set apart, or had a physical change. Now, these are your holiness people. That's why they have the possibility of filling the whole earth. The mustard seed has the possibility of filling the whole earth. Therefore, if I was interested in supporting a missionary, I'd make sure that he got at least to that step.
Amen. Amen.
Because a missionary that's been to that step can infect the whole earth with his message. It can grow and get the whole earth. He's had a sanctifying, setting apart, washed experience. There's have been changes in him. I wouldn't support a missionary who only knew about the blood of Jesus, or taught, or had, you know, that's all they did. I wouldn't. They don't have the power to come into this complete world enveloping growth. That growth is only when you get to the labor experience, the water providing the growth. Are these parables making sense to you? As you see what I'm driving at, you got to see the Old Testament, then you see the New. Because after all, it's a parable. That means it's hidden. There are meanings in it that he's trying to teach, but he's hiding them. What is it?
Paula? You're probably going to meet into this anyway, but I know that you've talked about before, and yet just going into this, I can't understand how all of us have probably gone through part of any of them, and still they're all mixed up, and we have part of one inside the Holy of Holies, and some of the other ones on the outside, we didn't get them all yet.
That's because you rushed in. Yeah.
Yeah, before you
leave. Yeah, you rush in, you ran in, grabbed a piece of pancake and ran out. Yeah, that happens to all of us.
Sure.
You got to practice it. I'm going to be teaching Terry in a minute. You got to learn to practice at every one of these stations if you're going to be a high priest. You're going to the door and practice faith. You're going to the brazen altar and practice salvation. You're going to the laver and practice sanctification. You're going to candlestick and practice singing some Cameron songs for a while. You go over to the other side and go to the Bible study for a while. Then you go on to the golden prayer altar and you'll intercede for somebody.
Yeah.
See what I'm talking about? You need it all. Yeah. Say it again.
You need it all.
You need it all.
All
right. Going on then. Now we're ready to go through a big veil. And the reason it's a veil is because these three things are hidden. It says the leaven is hidden, the treasure is hidden, the pearl is hidden. Now the leaven was when a woman hid, H-I-D, leaven, in the meal. But glory hallelujah, it leavened the whole lump. Now, if you look at it the old way of interpreting this, leaven, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, then you say that's sin. But if you come into the new way of looking at it, you'll see that the leaven that she put in there is now not a symbol for sin, but a symbol for the Holy Spirit, which is going to inhabit the whole lump. What am I trying to get at? If you're having trouble with joy, then get in a group where there's lots of joy. And pretty soon, it'll leaven the whole lump. It'll move in. If you're having trouble in faith, find a group that specializes in faith. And in a little while, it'll leaven the whole lump. And that faith will have gone through every fiber of your being. Because you're part of that meal. Now, Jesus said, we are the wheat. We are the meal. And he's trying to leaven us, or we'll say, put a little in, which will then grow and grow and grow. So it's so important to be in the correct environment. Your growth depends on your environment. And put yourself where it can grow. Next is the treasure. This treasure was hidden in a field. When you get to the truths of the Word of God, may I say the deep truths where a treasure would be, deep truths, you'll discover a truth that's hidden. People out here don't know it and can't see it. But when you bump into it, it looks so good to you that you're willing to leave it all and embrace this treasure. That means that there'll be people back here that you're going to have to leave. You're willing to sell it all now to embrace this new treasure that God has revealed to you. And and you're really willing to sell it all, try to learn that. Try to learn that there are some deep truths that are going to cost you your whole social life. With good Christian friends who can't move into that realm because they haven't seen the treasure. Whether you think the treasure is worth it or not is determined by what you do with it. But you're the one, sir, that's got to dig in the Word of God.
Amen.
Read it. Study it. He said, a righteous man is willing to spend all day and all night in the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, standeth the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate. Day and night he digs until he finds a treasure that's worth trading everything for. Hallelujah! Oh, praise God! And he sells it. And he buys that field. And he says, now it's mine. Nobody will take this treasure from me. I dug it. I found it. And now I've bought it. Praise God. And then he goes on to one more step. He says, the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Is like a merchant man that when he finds a pearl of great price. Now, by the way, this is more than a treasure now. This is a single pearl. It's your golden incense altar experience. The pearl of great price is a golden incense altar experience. Do you remember how pearls are made? Suffering and tears. May I say suffering and tears? Do you understand that intercessory prayer is through suffering and tears? Interceding through tears and suffering to produce a pearl of great price that comes from rubbing and rubbing and tears and polishing and knocking off the edges and coating the round parts until you have a beauty. Hallelujah. The intercessory prayer experience will take you away from everyone through tears and suffering, produce joy and gladness, and a pearl will come forth of great price, so that you'll now be willing to sell your treasure for your pearl. Praise God, hallelujah. And when you look up from the pearl, now where is a pearl made? And where does an oyster live? Then I'm going to switch over to the next parable and go to the bottom of the sea, because the altar, incense altar, moves to the next. It moves you into the next realm. The incense altar moves you into the tabernacle experience. It moves you to the Ark of the Testament. The incense altar moves you through the next thing. So now it moves you into the sea, and what do you find? A fish net. Full of fish. When he taught the parable, he said it this way. When you finally get into this place, I'm going to throw out the bad fish and use the good ones. That's what he said when he started this whole thing out. I'm going to pull out the bad tares and use the wheat. I'm going to throw out the bad fish. That's what it says right in the parable. First. He says, I'm going to separate first. Again, he says it all over again. It's like he said here. First, remove the bad ones, so that the good ones can be used for my glory. And what did he do with his glorified body? He put him in it. He ate the fish. I in them and them in me. Then we're all in one. Then we're all in one. Practicing the presence of God, having made the final step into the Holy of Holies. Now we're ready, having overcome in seven areas, to sit with Him in His throne, even as Jesus said, I am in the Father's throne. Glory, hallelujah. Praise God. Would you agree with me in prayer right now, and we'll close the meeting. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We ask, Lord, for your hand of love and protection upon each person as they go their separate ways. We pray, Lord, that whatever the future holds, that every person here will know who holds the future. We pray, Lord, that every one of us will have our hand in your hand for the future. Lord, whenever you want us to come together again in these kind of sessions and these kind of meetings, we pray that you'll reveal it, that every person will feel a desire, and that it'll be according to your timing and your way. And we just pray, Lord, that you'll meet the needs of every person in the future. Lord, we know that for some it'll be a while before we see him again. So we ask that your love will bind us together in the Spirit. Let a spirit of your love keep us always centered on you. Then our filial love, as we give and receive responses, we pray, Lord, that it'll even operate, even though we may not be able to see each other. Lord, we pray that in the future, whenever it is, that you want us to come together, that your anointing will again be on your word like it has been in the past, so that, Lord, we'll be doing what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.